Welcome to Let's Grow. This is a personal development podcast, and I'm your host, Jeremy A. Taylor, but you can call me JT. Whether it's a short message from yours truly or an interview with a special guest, this is your place for weekly encouragement to keep going and growing. My goal here is simple, to leave you better than I found you. And I know your time is valuable, so let's dive right in. What's up, guys? It's Jeremy. Welcome back to the Let's Grow podcast. I'm excited to introduce you all to a dear friend, someone I consider a mentor as well. But truth be told, he's just been a support system in my corner ever since the day I first met him. And I know you guys are going to learn a lot from his story and his expertise. But remember, we're hanging out here, whether it be an individual message, something from my heart to yours, or whether it be introducing you guys to a new guest. This is just real conversations with real people designed to bless you, encourage you, and help you grow. We want to leave you better than we found you. That's the name of the game here with this podcast. And so without further ado, speaker, coach, consultant, high-level executive, this guy's kind of done anything and everything you can think of. That's why I love hearing stories from Clifton. But my dear friend from down in Brentwood, Tennessee, Mr. Clifton Lambreth. Clifton, thanks for hanging out with me today.
Thanks a lot for having me. I certainly have been blessed with a bunch of wonderful friends just like you, and I've been following your career, and I'm excited for where you've been and where you're going. And I enjoyed your book, and I'm waiting for the next one. I know you got to get on that. Now that's your challenge. Get that next book out.
Yes, sir.
COVID's over, and things are opening back up, and people need to get good messages. They need to get live speakers. They need to bring in outside consultants like yourself to help them. So anything we can do to facilitate that, I'd like to help you.
I appreciate that, Clifton. Thanks so much. Before we dive into a few questions and tell a few stories and share a few words of encouragement with our listeners today, tell everybody where are you from, Clifton, and a little bit of your background, where you come from, what you do.
Okay. I was born in Florida. I grew up in North Carolina. I went to Western Carolina University for undergraduate and got my MBA at Western Carolina. Go Cats, go. And after that, I went to work with Ford Motor Company, and I worked there for 27 and a half years in a variety of positions, ranging from marketing and sales to customer satisfaction to handling the legals to finance to the fleet operations. So Ford sort of gave me I grew up with Ford, and they were very generous. It was an exciting career. When you're working with a Fortune 10 company, you know, you learn a lot. You have access to a lot of different things. And the dealers that represented Ford Motor Company were the best entrepreneurs in the world. So I learned incredible amounts from those guys. And then I also had the opportunity being within a Ford company is to get access to some different tools that other people may not have. Or so I try to, as I'm talking, I try to share those with them. Truly blessed career for Ford. You know the story. I mean, I wrote a book called Ford and the American Dream in 2007 after we lost $12.75 billion, would it be? If you're doing the math, that's $400 a second. So it's pretty upside down there. And after we did that, I wrote the book. We kind of implemented our plan, and we turned the company around without taking the bailout. So we were the ones that didn't take the bailout. We rolled up our sleeves and worked it out. So after that, we took the largest home improvement loan ever taken, $35 billion. My commitment was to stay till we paid that back. And once we paid it back, I wanted to do some other things, and been blessed to do that. You know my story. I've been everywhere. I ran a jewelry company for 2 years in New York. I ran an electronic recycling company. I ran an oil company for a while. Currently, I'm working with a company that does virtual reality with the Oculus headset. So we're doing VR experiences and games, and excited about the Christian element. It's called VRBX, Virtual Reality Bible Experiences. We have rebuilt King Solomon's Temple. So you can go in King Solomon's Temple, or you can go in King Herod's. King Herod's is actually bigger than King Solomon. You can walk in. We have a virtual tour guide, or you can go freestyle. There's over 500 learning points in it. It's crazy. We can take you on Holy Land tours, and you don't leave your house. You just put the headset on. You don't have to get a passport. You don't have to pay $8,000 to go to Israel. We can take you there in 15 minutes.
Wow.
We're so excited about what this meta universe is offering for everybody. The metaverse is just, it's truly crazy and exciting. And what used to take years and hundreds of years or tens of years to develop, they can develop now in weeks and months.
Yeah.
So it is fun and exciting, and I'm still learning a lot.
Super cool, Clifton. I know you're excited about that new venture, and every time I catch up with you, it seems like you've got your hands on something else, and you're excited about helping them grow and adding value in that space. And I know, you know, and as we get into some of our conversation, I'm excited to hear about, you know, a lot of what you've learned from all these different experiences, all these different industries, things that you've learned, but also what do you feel like are some similarities there? We'll talk about that here in just a second, but I want to make sure, Clifton, I let the listeners know today how you and I met. And Clifton, you know, if you haven't read my first book, Dream, the acronym Dream, Dreams, Dare, Risk, Excitement, Action, and Momentum, Dreams Do Come True for People Just Like You. I share the story of how Clifton helped inspire me to take the, you know, get off the sidelines and take the action to finish that book and launch the speaking business and career coaching, consulting. But I met Clifton at a home down in the Brentwood, Tennessee area of a mutual contact that we had, friends of ours by the name of Ron and Julie Durr. And while we were in a network marketing business, I was in that business with Ron and Julie Durr, and they brought in Clifton for an intimate training session at their house, where Clifton was speaking and sharing and doing some coaching and training. And also they purchased copies of his book, where I got a copy as well, one of his books. And I was also invited down to come hang out that day and shared a quick message before Clifton did his training segment. And Clifton heard me quote Zig Ziglar that day. And I'll never forget, Clifton said, "Dude, how old are you? Like, how do you know who Zig Ziglar was, who Zig Ziglar is?" And so Clifton was like, "Man, I used to work for Zig." Isn't that what you told me, Clifton?
Absolutely. Zig Ziglar, his message seems to go through all generations. And if you're not a fan of Zig Ziglar, it's because you're not reading or listening to him. His book, See You at the Top, has probably influenced hundreds of millions of people to do better and to get the best version of themselves out there. And Zig's in heaven right now, but his message is still here, and it's still relevant in 2022 as much as it was in the 70s and 80s and 90s and those times. And I was blessed to travel with him some. I was blessed to work with him some. And I'll tell you, just the time he poured into me and other people, Ken Blanchard, Charlie Tremendous Jones, all these people have been just so generous with their time and their talents and their treasure and their touch in my life that I am inspired to do the same thing, is to try to help people with what I've learned and share it. And, you know, I think it's all of our experiences are a gift.
Yeah.
And how we choose to present them is, you know, you can give a present by sharing your gift, or you can keep the gift. And so I would encourage everyone to share their testimony or their story. And I'm not just talking about a Christian testimony. I'm talking about their life testimony, because the summation of all the experiences you go through has brought you where you are, Jeremy. It brings your listeners to where they are. And no matter where you're at, it's just one page in the book.
Yeah.
And the book's not over till you're over. And so there's an opportunity to write an incredible amount of pages beyond where we are today. And I think there's no better time than today, with the opportunities to do better and to go anywhere you want. Given the communication elements with the internet and the megaverse and everything, there is no limits to what you can do today if you apply yourself. And there's no excuses. You can do it. You got all the tools. They're affordable. They're right at your, you know, most everything is free today. Content's free. So you just need to make up your mind, like you did when you wrote the Dream book, that I set a goal and then, you know, work a path, set up a strategy to get to accomplish your goal.
Yeah.
And have in process measures along the way, so you know your own target to do it.
Totally. And you shared some of that stuff with me whenever we first got together. And I remember you passing me your card that day at the Durr's house. And I sat on your card for a while, because I was like, man, what do I really do with Clifton's information? Like, what can I do for Clifton? That's kind of what was in my space, because I was kind of, I was developing and growing in a way that I was like, man, I don't want me to reach out to Clifton and this just be a transactional scenario of him thinking, what can Jeremy get out of him? I was like, man, how can I help Clifton? What can I do for Clifton? And, you know, at that time in my life, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm pretty much broke as a joke, right? I work from home. I generate enough income to fund my lifestyle, but I have nowhere near the assets that Clifton has, or the lifestyle, or the experience. So I don't even know if I could afford this guy's time, but I'll never forget. I reached out to Clifton and I said, Clifton, I don't care whatever your time is worth, an hour of your time. I'm willing to pay, like, whatever. I realize that, you know, you have accumulated a large network. You've generated a handsome income for yourself and you have a nice lifestyle. But listen, I want to learn from you. If I have to save up for 6 months to pay for 30 minutes of your time, I'll do it. And I'll never forget what you said back to me. You said, Jeremy, I really like O'Charlie's. And I said, what? You said, I really like O'Charlie's. I was like, you mean to tell me that you'll just meet me at O'Charlie's in Brentwood if I buy you lunch? You said, absolutely. And so we set a date, and I remember whenever I got there that day to meet with you for the first time, it was your birthday that day, and you had just gotten in from a speaking circuit down in North Carolina for a few days, and you had every right, obviously, in the world to go spend time with your wife and children and relax, right? But you committed to coming and visiting with me over lunch, and you walked in that day with a big old bag full of books, and one of those books happened to be, you mentioned Charlie Tremendous Jones, Life is Tremendous, and this book is so unbelievably near and dear to my heart. But I remember you passing me this book and several others, and you said, this will get you going and growing. But you sat down with me that day at O'Charlie's, and I bet we talked for two and a half hours, and you just told me story after story after story. And it really comes back around to what you just said, Clifton. You've had so many people pour into you, and what I found in that moment is if you really want to grow and you ask people for their time, you ask people for their story, people who are successful for the right reasons, I stole this from Clifton Lambert, for the right reasons with the right motivation, they also want to help other people. And so, man, I'll never forget that time in my life and what that meant to me, Clifton. I just want to say publicly, on the record, like, I can't tell you enough what that did for me. And you told me that day, you said, Jeremy, if you travel down this path, I believe you have what it takes, but you're going to go places, you're going to meet people, you're going to speak to groups that on maybe days and times and seasons of your life when you don't feel like it, but if you do it for the right reasons and for the right motivation, you're going to change people's lives. And you don't know who that's going to be, but God is going to put people in your path, and it could be you talking to 500 people, but you went there that day to change one person's life. And so I'll never forget that. I really appreciate that meeting, Clifton.
Well, if Evan Markham said years ago, he said, there's a destiny that makes us all brothers, and no one goes on their way alone. All that we give into the lives of others comes back into our own. And so I always think that, you know, and you remember what I told you, I said, look, all you got to do is you got to get up, dress up, show up, and you'll go up. And so I'd have probably stole that from Zig. I don't remember who I stole it from, but it was good. It was right. And after I say it so many times, I forgot where I got it, but somebody like a Zig or somebody like that would have said that. There's some incredible tools out there for people who want to do well. And yeah, and you're right. You know, my quote is, if we do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons, we get the right results. But more importantly, we earn the right to expect others to do the same. So we have to do, you know, you have to get your compass. You have to get your compass going right. And so wherever you point your compass and you follow the compass is where you're going. Yeah. And you know this. I mean, your actions will determine your destiny, and really your goals determine your destiny. But you have to have activity with it. And so, as you plan your life, and most people, as you know, and they spend more time planning their summer vacation, they do their life and their career. And if we just apply just a fraction of that time for saying, where do we want to go? Where can we help next? Everybody in their life, I mean, I know there's times where we're all on top of the mountain and there's times where we're at the bottom of the valley.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. As long as we know where we're going and we have a plan, we'll be okay. And you have to you have to keep your focus where you're going, not where you are. So your focus ultimately, will determine your destiny. So,
yeah. And that's actually, that's a great segue into a question I wanted to ask you, Clifton, was, you know, I remember you mentioning, and I think I had written down, your focus determines your future.
Yep.
So I've heard you say that over and over and over again, and that really stuck with me. And so what would you say, Clifton, while you were at Ford? You know, you said you kind of grew up at Ford and you've learned all these things. And I've heard you before sharing that story of being there and basically doing everything that you could possibly do at Ford, like learning all these different skills, increasing your value so you can bring more value to the company, which that's an unbelievable idea for young people today to think about. Whenever you increase your value, whenever you can do more for the company will more than likely look for ways to pay you more. But that's another conversation for another day. But Clifton, what was your focus? Your focus determines your future. What was your focus when you were at Ford?
Well, when I came in, I was a young guy out of college, just like you were talking about, broker than broke, driving a beater. I mean, literally, I had a beater, a car. You know, I came out of college. I had a car. I tell people I bought a car for $300 and drove it for 100,000 miles and sold it for $300. So it was a beater before it gave me a new car. And so my focus was really, I said, if I'm going to go to work with anyone, and I was so excited about Ford Motor Company because I understood what Henry Ford did by changing the world. Because before Henry Ford invented, you know, the assembly line vehicle, people didn't go over 50 miles from where they were born in their entire life. 95% of the people never went more than 50 miles. He put America on the roads. He put the world on the roads. So I really was a fan of his. And so when I saw the company, I said, I can go there. I had an MBA. I'd spent 6 years, studied hard, had a, you know, master's degree in computer information systems, and MBA in marketing and management, undergraduate BSBA in marketing management and computer information systems. Had a lot of degrees. But I said, this is where I can learn. And I remember this guy, this old guy that was kind of mentoring me when I first started Ford. He'd been at Ford a while. And he said, when you go see a dealer or you go see a manager, and he said, you look at his, it wouldn't apply today, but he said, look at his wrist and then look at yours. I said, you got a Timex and he's got a Rolex. So your listening should be proportional to what kind of watch you have. And so if he has the Rolex, you listen more than you talk. And if he doesn't, maybe I talk more than you listen. But he was kind of doing it. Everybody I talked to seemed to have a better watch. So I started collecting watches when I first started Ford. But my purpose was, and my focus was, I'm going to learn everything. Just what you said, I'm going to learn everything I can. And I'm going to make myself the most valuable asset. And I know if I do it and I do it well, that either Ford Motor Company or somebody else outside of Ford will compensate me for it.
Yeah.
And so that not only while you're developing your knowledge, you're also developing your habits. And so you got to work harder. You got to work smarter. You know, you got to be willing to pick. We just got out of NCAA. What a great tournament. Wasn't that a great tournament? A bunch of teams. I mean, there's a story behind every team. And I'm a Carolina fan. So, you know, it was a dream come true. A number 8 team get the final game. And within 3 points, that's just a huge deal. And my son right now is a freshman at Carolina, Matthew. So we're still pulling for Carolina, but I can tell you that what I saw was they had a common goal. All the teams that got there, every team that got there was a winner. You know, they had a common goal and they all had a mutual respect for each other and they had a mutual contribution. The best teams, the most selfless teams were the winning teams, not the best players, but the ones that were willing to be selfless. You know, I tell people all the time, if you'll just develop the habit of trying to become a servant leader, you'll be 100% more successful than you think you are. And servant leaders aren't, it's not me, me, me. They don't have the measles. You know, conceit's a weird disease. It makes everybody sick except the person that has it. But when I'm talking about servant leaders don't think less of themselves. They just think of themselves less. So what I'm telling you is the focus is not on yourself, but it's on what can I bring to the table and help others. Yeah. And also I say that if you want to know if you're a servant leader and you're watching yourself trying to become a servant leader, you're watching other leaders. Servant leaders don't love power, but they understand the power of love. There's a whole world there. So, I mean, I think you got to commit to being a servant leader. That's what I wanted to do. I said, I'm going to serve Ford Motor Company to the best of my ability. They more than generous with a salary. They gave me a car. My first car was a, I hate to tell you now, probably hope the statute of limitations ran out, but they get, I traded in a beater for a 1984 or 85, I'm sorry, Lincoln Mark 8. So you can imagine, you know, it would be easy to say, look at me, I made it. But I understood I'm just the driver of the car. I don't even own that car. I'm just using it for the purpose of helping Ford grow their business. And so I said, what can I do? What can I learn? So every time they had an offering of training or whatever, you know, a lot of people in our organization did run from training. I'm not going to travel. I'm not going to go there. I'd say, listen, I understand. I tell my manager, I understand you got a training budget. I know, understand you got a training objective, and I'm your guy. If nobody else will go, I'll go. And I learned from so many people. I mean, it wasn't just the automotive industry. I learned from Coca-Cola, and I learned from McDonald's, and I learned from Dell Computers and Wendy's. I studied the best of the best, Walmart. I was looking around to see what they were doing, and I was collecting all these common denominators of success. And when I would work with our team, internal team or external team, even the dealers, I would say, tell me what makes you successful. You've obviously acquired, you know, some success here. Tell me what it was. And I just record, I was a sponge. I just recorded all that stuff internally. And I said, how does it apply to my life? Or how can I share this common denominators of success or best practices with other people to help them improve? And I think, you know, the great ones always give back. And when you're down, in your life, I told you, you're going to hit the mountains, you're going to hit the valleys. But if you find yourself in a valley and you want to get out of the valley and back on the mountain, let me tell you how to do it. I'll give you my focus on others.
Yeah.
The more you give, the more you'll get. I mean, it's the law of reality. The more you give, the more you'll get. And it's not from a selfish perspective. I'm not saying gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. I was saying I'm going to learn as much as I can, and I'm going to share as much as I can, and we're all going to go up together.
Yeah.
And one day, you know, just like you know, I'm sharing you all these best practices and everything. And then one day we're talking on the phone or meeting, and I realize, wait a minute, hold on, I'm writing down what he's saying. And so we're sharing best practices and information. And so it's a mutual learning experience. And I found that with Ken Blanchard. Ken Blanchard wrote 44 books. And we would be talking. I'm writing everything he says down, you know, we're taking notes and I'm learning things. I'm going, wow. And I'm asking him questions and traveling with him for a while. He was generous enough to let me and stay at his house. I'm writing everything down. And then I would tell him something that I found out from somebody else. And the next speech, he would put it right in there. I go, there he goes. So there, it wasn't even mine. I borrowed it from somebody else. But there's no excuse for failure today other than you either aren't focused or you're not willing to pay the price. And I'm not talking, the price today is a lot less than it used to be because there's so many resources. All you have to do is to commit to something, whatever it is. If you want to be a better athlete, you want to be a better father, you want to be a better husband, you want to be a better employee, you want to be a better entrepreneur, you want to be a better representative for the people if you do it in civil service. All you have to do is focus on what you, but remember your focus. We talked about it. Your focus determines your future. Your focus will determine your destiny. And then your actions, all the actions that you take will help you accomplish that. But you got to persevere. You know, we just came through COVID. If COVID taught us nothing else, it taught us persistence and perseverance, right? Yeah. I mean, and you can't quit. Yeah. I mean, you know, the whole business paradigm got shifted for 2 or 3 months, but guess what? Have you looked at the market cap of some of these companies? They grew during COVID. Incredible. Yeah. Today, I'm talking to you on a Zoom. And Zoom is an industry nobody had before COVID. Nobody even knew what Zoom was, really. Mm-hmm. Maybe less than 2% today. Probably 90% of the people have been on a Zoom call or Teams call or something. And so there's always, you know, Jim Rome used to say this. He said, there's always opportunity and there's always adversity. And there's always opportunity, there's always difficulty. He said, sometimes there's more opportunity, and sometimes it seems like there's more difficulty, but they're always present. Both of those elements are always present in any environment. And you just got to read the environment and say, okay, opportunity's here. We got opportunity. Said, if you see opportunity, you got to insert activity.
Yeah.
And if you see obstacles, you got to insert creativity.
Sure.
Because when you don't have capital, you got to insert creativity. And there are times in your life where you won't have capital. And so I always encourage people, when you don't have capital, insert creativity. And that's, look, I mean, there's so many, goodness gracious, there's millionaires and billionaires. There's hundreds of millions of ways to make $1 million today. $1 million is not a lot. And there's billionaires. And all these people are doing just what they're just looking. The market loves a void. If you see a void, it won't stay there long. Somebody's going to fill it. So you have an opportunity. If you see a void in your industry or in your vision and it comes in front of you, look for ways to fill that void. And I can tell you, coming out of this right now, nobody's seen a live speaker in 2 years. Nobody's seen, you know, gone to group things. And there's a special energy that comes beyond podcasts or beyond Zooms or beyond teleporting into all these meetings. When you're there in person, somebody hears a message from a speaker like yourself and they take it and they apply it, there's a whole different energy, and the success is multiplied across the number of in the audience. If you have 500 people, that success is 500 times stronger. If it's 1,000 people in the audience, and you know, because you spoke to groups, 20,000, 10,000, 5,000, and 5. But when you have those big groups, you get a multiplier, especially if those people are leaders in an organization or leaders in whatever they do. Leaders are 100x people. So if you can influence the influencers, your message can go, your products can go anywhere you want. And it's just been, I mean, I'm always excited to read and see. I mean, honestly, I'm just excited about learning about new things. Every day somebody calls me with a different opportunity that I didn't think of, and I don't think anybody else has thought of yet. And that's how, and people say, a lot of times they said to me, well, Clifton, I know you worked at Ford for 27 years. What do you know about jewelry? I said, I don't know anything about jewelry, but I know about people and I know about sales. And so within the company that had lost money for 7 years in a row, we were profitable in 6 months, and we grew our business in the first year by 40%. We cut our costs by 40%. The second year, we grew by another 30%. We cut our costs by another 25%. And we're growing while we're cutting. And so created an incredible opportunity in the 2 years I was there to turn this business around. And there are people that work for that organization that need you and me to do our best, or to help coach people to do their best, because they're counting on that for a living.
Totally. Well, guys, Clifton just dropped about a dozen just pearls, wisdom, info, applications right there. And man, I would recommend listening to this episode multiple times so you can get all of that info. But Clifton, you know, with that same focus of, you know, your focus determines your future. I know that you've had you have a tough past. You have a rough upbringing. You know, you've shared some of those details with me, and I know that you've been open and candid about that because you want people to know that your history doesn't determine your destiny, and you know, your current situation isn't, you know, your final destination, and your life is an example of that. So, you know, what was your focus while you were younger, and you know, that helped you, what created that future that you now have for yourself? And that, because when people see you today, Clifton, you don't look like what you came from, right? People don't know what you came from. And so what was your focus back then? I know I've heard you plug before about how important reading was. You know, obviously this is a personal growth and development podcast. I'm an advocate for that, lifelong learning. I know that's something that you really focused on, just learning and growing as much as you could. But what was your focus when you were younger to overcome some of those difficult circumstances?
Well, today's readers are tomorrow's leaders. I always tell you, you know, that today's readers will be tomorrow's leaders. So you have to insert positive stuff. And, you know, when I was young, I'll try to make it brief. It's a long story, but my parents got divorced. My mom kidnaps me, takes me to New Jersey. My dad hires a private investigator. They're estranged with each other. He brings me back. He has no plan. My dad was an alcoholic. I end up in a foster home for a year. And then I end 11 years in an orphanage. So I started off with, you know, nothing. But I would encourage anybody, don't ever judge anybody by the page of their book they're in. Because I promise you, you got to read on. And so while I was there in a foster home, I met some incredibly nice people. While I was in the orphanage, these were, I met the best servant leaders in the world of people that were pointing. They weren't doing it for 401k or millions of dollars or retirement accounts. None of that existed for them. Yeah. They were doing it because it was the right thing to do, and they believed in doing the right thing. And so they poured into me. And so I'm a product today of a lot of great servant leaders that poured into me and loved me when I didn't deserve it or didn't value. I didn't really offer to bring any value to the proposition other than I was willing to try to listen and learn. And so I grew up there. Nobody in my family had ever gone to college. My twin brother and I were the first ones to graduate from undergraduate, the first ones to graduate from a graduate degree. And so that those things, and by the way, the orphanage, it's the Baptist Children's Homes in North Carolina, they made it possible for me to go to college. And so they inserted their capital into me saying, we believe in you. And they also, even beyond the capital, which was incredibly great blessing that people gave me, but they also gave me the encouragement. They said, we believe in you. And so if you have somebody says, I believe in you and I'm willing to invest things in you, then you have an obligation, not only if you take it, but to do your best and try to go as far as you can. And so that's what I've done. And so it's just been an incredible journey along my years as I get older every year. It's not just Thanksgiving. I'm Thanksgiving's every day. I'm thankful for all the people that were sent into my life. I'm thankful for the opportunity to read and listen. And as I get older, I listen to more books and podcasts. And I used to read a lot. We talked about that, and I still read quite a bit. But there's so many ways to get the data, and so I'm excited about that. When I got to college, it didn't stop there. I met incredible professors and mentors that helped me and said, look, you can do this or that. I didn't know where they were talking about existed growing up, because when you're in a environment where there's always too much month at the end of the money and all you're trying to do is survive.
Yeah.
So they taught me not only how to survive, but how to thrive. They said, if you'll just go beyond where you are today and invest today for what you could get tomorrow, I promise you the return on your investment will be worth it. And they were absolutely right.
Yeah.
So but I had challenges. My family was poor. We had the midnight movers moving every time the rent was due. 2 months because we couldn't pay it. It was tough. And we didn't decide which meal we're going to eat that day. The budget decided which meal. We didn't eat three a day. We would put them all into one. But you know what? When you go through that kind of experience and you come out the other side, you say, what a bless. And you come out with an attitude of gratitude. I've been blessed enough. And I think what you also realize is the people that pour into you, you have an obligation to pour into other people. Everybody has the same amount of time every day. Everybody has a different amount of talent. They have a different amount of treasure, but everybody has 100% of their touch. So their time, talent, treasure, touch. You can take your time and touch, and you can impact people's lives, and you can impact your career with it.
Yeah. Well, Clifton, along those lines of your focus determines your future. We talked a little bit about your upbringing. We talked a little bit about your time at Ford, how that was a springboard for your career, and a lot of the experience that you got from your Ford days that catapulted you into your coaching and consulting because of what transpired with Ford and the lessons that you took there, the experience and the knowledge. But Clifton, you have worked with a plethora of organizations, industries. You're well connected, well respected, a lot of people that you've been able to grow with, learn from. Let's close down our conversation today by talking about what, off the top of your head, from all of these experiences, all these companies, all of these services that you provided, what would you say are some common denominators of successful people or best practices, if you will? We were talking about that before we hit the record button. Best practices that you would impart on others or encourage people to keep in mind if they want to provide a great service or grow in their field.
Well, we talked about a lot of key ingredients to success and common denominators, but let me try to, I'll sum them up as best I can, as quick as I can.
Sure.
The first thing I think you, as we talked about, is your focus determines your future. You got to determine where you want to go. You also got to determine where am I right now. So you establish where you are, you establish where you want to go. There's a gap in there of activities that you got to insert to get from where you are to where you want to go. So, but you have to have a common denominator. You have to have a goal. Okay, my goal, and you need to write that goal down. You need to write it on your mirror. You need to write it on your computer. You need to write it, put it in your pocket. Whatever is going to trigger you to keep focused on, okay, today I'm going to do this. And there's a lot of people. I mean, I could tell you years ago, Bruce Wilkinson wrote a book called The Prayer of Jabez. And if people would just pray that prayer, their life would be changed. I can assure you, because I was. And so I stuck it on my mirror and I stuck it in my pocket. And I said, you know, I asked every day for the Lord to bless me. And he did. He blessed me with people and he blessed me with opportunities and he blessed me with different experiences that would later pay off and help me in my future. I didn't know at the time, but later it gave me a story to tell. So I think you got to get your focus determined. And then you got to get your commitment. Okay, am I committed to doing it? Do I really want to go there? And if I really want to accomplish it, you got to have commitment. So what are the things that I'm committed to do and not do? You know, I'm not going to do anything dishonest. I'm not going to take shortcuts. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to study the best in the practice. Whatever your commitments are, you got to establish the commitments. And then you got to be persistent. I mean, you got to persevere. Perseverance, you know, my favorite poem is that Don't Quit. It goes something like this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, and the road you're trudging seems all uphill. When your funds are low and your debts are high and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out. It's a silver tint, it's a cloud of doubt. You never know how close you are. You might be near when it seems afar. To stick to the fight when your heart is hit is when things go wrong that you must quit. I didn't learn that in a day. I learned that by reading 10,000 times when I wanted to quit. So yeah. You have to, you know, you got to have that perseverance and you got to say, okay. And then once you persevere, you got to say, okay, I'm going to have in process measures. Just like when you said to write a book, we sat down and we said, okay, what's the book going to be about? Okay. How many chapters are you going to have? Okay. When do you want to have the first chapter done? When do you want to have the second? What's the outline? So you set those in process measures. Okay, am I on schedule? Am I following to get to where I want to be? By January 1, I want this book out. If the book's got to be out, then I need to have the outline done by February of the prior year or whatever your timetable is. But you got to have those in process measures just to check in and say, am I on schedule for accomplishing what we need to accomplish? If you're in a big company, they'll give you those metrics and they'll evaluate you. Today's with the automated system and even the artificial intelligence, the metrics, you can do those in seconds, not months or weeks or hours like it used to be. In seconds, you can know exactly where you're at. And as long as you know where you're at and where you're going, you can apply the resources. And then the final thing you got to say is, it's not about me. As I go along my journey, I'm going to take some other people with me. And I'm going to be committed to looking for people that can go on this journey and help me and that I can help. Because when you get to the end and you win, you want people to be there to cheerlead for you. And when they win, you want to be there to cheerlead for them.
That's right.
So you got to commit kind of, you might call it your tribe. You create your tribe. You know, a lot of times when we were talking, people say, oh, I got my tribe or whatever. And whatever you call them, it's your group, it's your people. You got to have people that believe in you and believe in what you're trying to do. Yes. And that helps you to continue to believe on the journey. And when the journey gets difficult, you do it. Now, as you pick up these tests along the way, you're going to develop some skills and you keep those common denominators of success in your hip pocket. And those are tools that you're going to use in the future and you used in the past. And you can look back sometimes. Sometimes you can't see it because you and I talk about this all the time. When you're inside the bottle, you can't read the label.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is you want to look, you can look back almost with 100% vision. You can say, okay, this happened and that happened and this happened and that's why it worked. But when you're in the middle of it, you don't know. So you're just doing all the right things and you're applying the principles that you learn and you're listening to people. I could tell you if we were just more receptive to listen to successful people, there's the common denominator of successful people is guess what? They're successful. So all you have to do is you don't have to go reinvent the wheel. You just look at what made them successful and make observations. And does that apply to my situation? Does it apply to my opportunity? Does it apply to the goal or the trip that I'm on right now? But when you do, when you get all those things together and you get it, and you always got to stay positive. And I know every motivational speaker says, hey, look at the glass. It's half full or it's half empty. And that is a good, at least it gives you a perspective. But let me tell you the secret. It's not about half full or half empty. That does give you a perspective, and it's important to have a positive perspective. The main thing about that glass is, guess what? It's refillable.
Yeah.
Don't forget, don't matter whether it's half full or half empty, it's refillable. So if it gets less or more, you can add all the time. It's continually you can add to it. So don't forget the glass is always refillable. If you put more in it, it'll have more in it, whether it's half empty or half full. So you got to always be reinvesting. I encourage people to invest even in yourself. And that might be going to networking groups. It might be listening to healthy stuff like your podcast and listen to positive things like read in certain books or audio books or speeches or whatever, or TED Talks. Put all this stuff in there and look. And as you're doing it, and I don't listen to those things. When I get a good one, I listen to it five or six times. I'm looking for five things in everything I look at. Is there five things that I can apply to my life? And so when I listen, I can always find five that says, you know, I used to remember that, but I forgot it. Now I'm going to remember it. And so a lot of times it's not revolutionary, but you have to reinvest it, that thought into your time and in your life and your current situation. So, I mean, you just got to be on a continuous learning. I'm a continuous learning. I'm on a journey of continuous learning. I want to learn everything. A company called me a year ago and they said, we got this idea about doing virtual reality things. They said, what do you know about that? I said, no, nothing about virtual reality. They go, well, it's on an Oculus headset. I said, well, is that good? I don't know what that means. Yeah. And they said, well, that's good. That's the best headset out there. I said, well, that's great. And so what do you want to do? And they had a vision, but they didn't have a plan. Yeah. And so I said, okay, let me put some time into this. Now, if I could do it, I'll come on board and we'll try to help you. And so I became the COO of Epica Studios. And in 12 months, we've developed an incredible product line. It's called Virtual Reality Bible Experiences, where you can go to the Holy Land. You don't have to get a passport. You don't have to get on a plane. You can put an Oculus headset. And Oculus is really good equipment. You can put that headset on and you can go to the Holy Land. You can put the headset on and go see King Herod or King Solomon's temple, or even the Moses' tabernacle. You can read about it in a book, or you can go and visit it. We have virtual tour guides in there that'll take you around. I mean, it's incredible stuff. I mean, and then we have games. We have games that we teach kids biblical principles like David and Goliath and Noah's Ark. On Noah's Ark, on our game, you get to pick which animals you go in the Ark. So if you're not a cat person, you just throw that cat in the water. So we have a lot of fun things, but we're teaching in a different way. Yeah. And today's youth, I'm telling you, if I were going to go and do business in Mexico, I would have to learn Spanish. If you're going to be working with the next generation, ZR, ZR, XYZ, whatever the next one is, millennial, past, whatever the next one will be, they're gamers and they're very tech savvy. And so you got to learn technology. That's the language that they speak. And that's also, if you look at all these guys that, the Wall Street Journal and all these shows show being successful, the technology element is there for 90% of them today.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, even if you're in a mechanical industry like Ford, technology is always going to be an incredible opportunity for making leaps and bounds. And if you can leverage what you know and technology, you can leapfrog your timetable.
Yeah.
So I just tell people, be open to new things, always be learning. I was one of the first guys at Ford to learn computers, and I'm not a geek or anything. I'm no Steve Jobs or anybody like that, but I learned a computer and I learned how to use it. And I learned the opportunities it would offer for Ford and for me personally. And so today, if you've got a cell phone, you got all the tools you need. You can listen to podcasts, or you can listen to books. You can go places that you never could go before.
I can I can legitimately say, Clifton, that I built my business for my cell phone. Yeah. And I say that, with no shame in my game whatsoever. The technology for my phone literally built my business, allowed me to stay connected with people by way of social media, you know, being able to communicate with people via email, text message, you name it. Literally, I built out my business basically for my cell phone. That's pretty wild. Who would have ever thought that would be the case? Clifton, I want to close down by making one last reference to our time together at O'Charlie's, to give our listeners something to walk away with that I feel like exercises or exemplifies some humility. You know, I'm young and springy and excited at the time that we meet, and you know, I'm building a network marketing business, but I'm getting requests to go speak to classrooms and schools and sports teams, and which that organically grew into school assemblies and faculty and staff and da 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 da, right? But at that time when we met, you know, my primary income was by way of my network marketing business, and there was a car bonus program in that company. And at that time I was driving a Benz, and I'm not afraid to say that I was driving a Benz that I could not afford. I'll say that again, young people, I was driving a car that I could not afford, and the monthly payment on the vehicle was more than my rent to my apartment where I was living at that time. Right. That's not a good situation to be in. Right. Okay.
Right.
So whenever I walk out of our meeting that day, when we met and hung out and had lunch at O'Charlie's, you walk by me and tap on the window and say, is that your Zija Benz, right? At that, the company was Zija International at the time. And you're like, man, that's a nice ride, right? You were congratulating me, right, on that's a nice vehicle you got, Jeremy. And I picked it up at a Mercedes-Benz of Nashville, by the way. I no longer drive that vehicle. And that's a long story on it wrecked, was upside down on value. It's been a headache like you wouldn't believe. But you walked by me and you got in a Ford Taurus, a two-door Ford Taurus that day. And at the year that we were in, I think, was probably 2015 at that time, I think. Excuse me, let me back up. I think it was 2013, 2014 when I met you. And so your Ford Taurus was easily 5, 6, 7 years, yep, you know, older as far as a model is concerned. And I'm thinking to myself, who Clifton is, what he does, what he's been through, what he knows, the work that he does. And he just got in a Ford Taurus that he does not have a payment on, and it's nowhere as new as the vehicle that I'm driving. And man, Clifton, a light bulb went off for me that day. So as we close down, I want you to share with people about, you know, just some of those, the practical application of humility and not being concerned about perception and things. You know, here you are, a guy who's speaking and consulting for unbelievably high level companies, but you were driving a vehicle that most people wouldn't expect you to get in. And I was like, wow.
Yeah. Let me tell you a story. When I wrote my first book, Ford and the American Dream, I sent the first copy to Alan Mulally, who was the CEO of Ford. He'd just come over from Boeing. He was the CEO of Boeing. And when we did that, we went to lunch, and we went to, you know, it's a long, that's a different podcast, but it's a, we met together. But when at the end of our lunch, I had flown in, he said, can I give you a lift somewhere? Cause I had Ubered into our meeting. And I said, yeah. And so I go to get in his car. Here's a CEO. He's a multimillionaire. Today he's a billionaire, but he's out there. And what is his car? His car was a Ford Fusion. It was really a Taurus. It was a Taurus. And so I said, here's the guy who's turning Ford Motor Company around, and he's driving a Fusion, which is at that time was a $25,000 car. Let's be honest. It wasn't an expensive car. Yeah. If you tried hard and put every option, I don't think you could have got it to 30. And so, sure. But here's the guy who's leading the Ford Motor Company, turning around. He's a multimillionaire. I mean, you know, he's today is a billionaire, but he was driving a Fusion. And I remember talking to him at lunch, and I said, Alan, in the past, I noticed that a lot of our leaders were buying custom suits, and, you know, they had all these nice fancy suits. And you know what he said? He said, Clifton, I buy my clothes off the rack.
Boom.
And I looked at it and I said, I think you do, Alan. He started laughing.
Yeah, I think you do.
I said, Alan, I've always bought mine off the rack, but I understand what you're saying. And we started laughing. He said, are you saying I wear the same ones? I'm saying, I said, well, I do. I don't know if you do, but I do. So we started laughing. But what you learn is, I mean, and you know, that's not something that I just, you remember Sam Walton, the guy that started Walmart? He rode around in a 1974 Ford pickup. He's a billionaire, multi-billionaire, built the largest retail, you know, land-based company in the world at the time.
Yeah.
And he's driving a pickup truck, a Ford pickup, old Ford pickup truck, 20, 30 years old. He didn't care. He just picks it up and drove it. That's what he did. And so if you look at this too, Warren Buffett, he still lives in the house he first started in. Mm. Warren Buffett is a billionaire. So sometimes you can look at how people live and what they do. But I can tell you this, this is what it did. And I'm not judging anybody. Everybody can, you whatever you earn your money, you can spend it however you want. You can invest it however you want. But we made, in my family, we decided we were going to drive a little bit older cars. And it, because we could do that, we could partner with ministries or opportunities that came our way. And we could reinvest that money in other people's dreams. We could invest in kingdom opportunities, and we would have money to do that. And so I'm always proud when I tell my friends, hey, I just got a new transmission in my Expedition. Why didn't you get a new Expedition? I said, well, the car's not wore out. It was just the transmission. Yeah. So I had to go get a new transmission, but I'm excited because I think I got 3 or 4 more years on it. And they always shake their head and say, you could get a new one. I could, but I'm not going to until it breaks. I really like what I want. If the car wears out, I'll go get another one.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying if your thing is cars, set that as a goal, go get it. And it's fine. It's just everybody has to set their priorities. And, you know, at some point in my life, Ford gave me, and they spoiled me. I mean, 27 years, good. I'm not exaggerating. I had 100 new vehicles to drive during that time. And sometimes multiple ones at a time. So I had plenty of that.
Yeah.
I said, you know, and I can tell you, there is something about a new car. If you want to get in, you want to get in there, and you want to get lock yourself in on a goal, you buck yourself in on a payment, and you'll have motivation every month to go work. So, but and there is something that if that's what you need, or that if you think that car is going to help you establish your self-esteem, as long as you work and pay for it, it's okay. I mean, when I was in the jewelry business, first thing I got there, I go, well, this is just jewelry. You know, it's just gold and silver and diamonds. And it's just jewelry. I was thinking in my mind, it's just jewelry. But then I went out to a show and I watched women try it on, and I watched them before they put it on, and I watched them after. And the increased value added of that jewelry was 100 times what it cost.
Yeah.
And they felt so good about themselves, and they saw themselves differently. And so if that's your thing, I'm not judging anybody. Everybody has to make their personal decisions on that kind of stuff. But I can tell you there's value added in a lot of different things.
Sure.
And so I'm very conservative, as you know. So I do have more vehicles than I need still, but I'm trying to scale that down a little bit. But and if we get a newer vehicle, my wife gets it anyway, Jeremy. So I just get the next one. It just passes down to me. My kids drive better vehicles than I do. And so does my wife. So anyway, it's all right. For them, if it adds joy and value to their life, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. Well, Clifton, man, I appreciate your time more than you know. I think often about, I tell that story in a lot of speaking engagements, a lot of keynotes, and a lot of training sessions. And, you know, when I talk about mentorship, when I talk about pouring into other people, I share with them the experience that I have with you, and how that kickstarted a friendship, and how we've kept in touch, and how you've always been just genuinely interested in my growth and my success. You know, how you've seen me go from that young, excited kid who wanted to know the secrets to launching a speaking business, and what should I focus on, and how did you get involved and get your foot in the door to seeing me get married and have a son now, and you know, my career develop, and you've always been genuinely interested in my life and how I'm doing. So I just can't tell you thank you enough, Clifton. It really means a lot. Before we jump off here, though, Clifton, I think our readers, or our listeners rather, are curious, since you said O'Charlie's is one of your favorite restaurants, and we did sit down and have a meal there, what do you enjoy eating whenever you go to O'Charlie's?
Well, O'Charlie's now has kind of shrunk on me. They've shrunk and pulled back a little bit. So now I love eating food anywhere. But I want to piggyback on one thing you just said.
Yeah.
It's very important for your listeners to understand, if you do set that goal, get you an accountability partner. In your life, your accountability partner may be your spouse.
Yeah.
Or you know, but you need an accountability partner that can help coach you and give you unfiltered feedback so that you can continue to do it. So if you start those journeys and do it, I would say get you an accountability partner. And I can tell you, speaking of restaurants, I didn't get COVID-19. I got COVID-30, because that's all I did was go out and eat. And so I've got it right now. I like food. I love restaurants. I love the social aspect of going and sitting down and talking to people and visiting. And I think the restaurant industry provides us with a great servant model for any industry. And I think it, you know, when you're going out there, you know, be an encourager for your waiters and waitresses too, because they're tough deal. We now know, if nothing, we come out of the other side of COVID and we said, wow, our teachers are more valuable than their compensation. That's one thing I learned. Our healthcare workers are more valuable than their compensation. The restaurant workers that are working at that restaurant, they're more valuable than their compensation. So while you can help them with tips and different things, you also can help with encouragement. And so just be nice to people as you go around and be a disciple of positive things. My brand is simple. When I'm positive, I'm at my best.
Yeah.
When I work hard, I'm at my best. That's my brand. And so if I want to be a Bartholomew. I want to be encouraging everywhere I go. And people are like, one time somebody said to me, he said, Clifton, are you a speaker, an author? You know, I wrote those three books. They said, are you an author, are you a speaker, are you a business guy, are you a consultant? I said, no, I just want to be a consultant in all those roles. I have a lot of different roles. I'm a dad too, just like you, you know. I got three sons. And so, you know, and so I want to be an encourager. So if when I check out and I go beyond this world, if they say one thing about me, I would like to say he was an encourager.
Amen. So
that's, amen. I'll take that as a tombstone, and I'll go and I'll be excited. If I could accomplish that one thing, I will have, my life will be a life well spent.
That's right. So I'm assuming my listeners are now beginning to piece together some of the puzzles on our friendship, because whenever I talk about what I do as a speaker, coach, and trainer, I just say, listen, I consider myself an encourager. Guys, you know, I get that honest from folks like Clifton, and it's not just about the work that we do. It's about the people that we're becoming in the process, and we always want people to know that as well, right, as you grow and help other people grow. Man, there's so many great takeaways from this conversation today. I know you guys have been blessed. Clifton, again, thank you for your time. It's been a great time hanging out on the podcast.
Well, don't forget this too. John Mason says, in life, your messes become your message and your tests become your testimony. I think your message become your message and your tests become your testimony. John Mason's right. And so as you go through things, remember, there's a reason for this. And if you can capture the reason, you can capture the opportunity. So,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, guys, that concludes our conversation for today. Remember to drop a review and let us know what you enjoy about the podcast. That gets it out in front of more people. Share, right, with a friend, with a family member. If you feel like this message, this encouragement today blessed you, share it with someone that you know. But remember, until next time, don't just go through life, grow through life, and everybody can encourage somebody. Love you guys, and we will catch you on the next episode. Hey, thanks again for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode and you received some value, could you do me a favor and share it with a friend? If so, I really, really, really appreciate you helping me get the word out about this podcast.
As a reminder, this is your place for a shot of encouragement, and my goal is to simply leave you better than I found you. So, my friend, I certainly hope that was the case for you today.